The Dame, and he overhears some juicy gossip in the pub after the show. So, is there something funny going on? Oh, yes, there is. Find out as Timothy West stars in Rumpole and the Widow Twankey on Friday morning at 11:15.
This is BBC Seven.
Back to today, though, and we've got a bit of funny business going on right now. It's all a bit creepy down at Sitterford House at the moment. A wintry night and a light-hearted séance has revealed an unexpected surprise. And now they've got a body, too. Prepare for a few more goosebumps in the next half hour. Sitterford Mystery by Agatha Christie, dramatised in five parts by Michael Bakewell, with Geoffrey Whitehead as Inspector Narracott and Stephen Tomkinson as Charles Enderby. Part 2, An Arrest for Murder. The time is 1931. The place, Exhampton, on the edge of Dartmoor.
Do you think I ought to tidy the place up a bit, Inspector?
No, thank you, Evans. The whole place is to be left exactly as it is for the present.
Very good, sir.
Quite an array of cups and trophies. Bit of a sportsman, Captain Trevelyan.
Oh, he was that. Been an athlete all his life.
Seems to have had an odd taste in literature. Love Turns the Key. The Merry Men of Lincoln. The Prisoner of Love. Doesn't sound like his kind of thing.
They weren't for reading, Inspector. They were a prize he won in the Railway Names Competition.
Oh.
He sent in 10 solutions under different names, including mine, because he said 85 Fourth Street was a more likely address to send a prize to than Sitterford House. The commoner your name and address, the more likely you were to get a prize.
And what's in the cupboard in the corner?
Oh, that's where the captain kept all his treasures.
Well, let's have a look.
Careful, sir.
Good Lord, what a collection. Elephant's foot, tennis rackets, tiger skins, keys... A pair of mounted skulls, fishing tackle. Why did you bring this lot down with him if he was only letting the house for a few months? Surely these things could have been locked up at Sitterford House.
That would have been the common sense thing to do. But the captain couldn't bear the idea of anyone messing around with his treasures, particularly since he'd let the house to a couple of women. Lock things up as you will, he says. A woman will always find a way of getting in. Better not lock them up at all, he says, if you don't want her to handle them. So we carted them all down here, and a regular job it was. It came expensive, too. But there, those things of the captain's was like his children.
This Mrs. Willett, was she an old friend or acquaintance of the captain's?
Oh, no, sir, no, no. She was a stranger to him.
You're sure of that?
Well, the captain never actually said so, but yes, I'm sure of it.
Captain Trevelyan and Mrs. Willett met, I suppose?
Oh, yes, yes. She came to the house and he took her over it.
Did they get on well together? Were they friendly?
The lady was, all over him. Admiring the house, asking him if he'd planned the building of it. Altogether laying it on thick, as you might say.
And the captain?
Well, that sort of gushing lady wasn't likely to cut any ice with him. Polite he was, but nothing more.
Well, let's look over the rest of the house, shall we?
Right, sir.
And then I'd better go and have a word with Major Burnaby. Do you know where he is?
He's staying at the Three Crowns, sir. No hope of getting back to Sitterford today. Still cut off. And in any case, I think it's been quite a shock to him.
The Major's having his breakfast in the coffee room. What kind of night he's passed with no pyjamas or anything, I don't know. Said it made no matter, he did. All upset he was. No wonder with his best friend murdered. I always used to say it was dangerous to live up at Sitterford, miles from anywhere. Here's the captain struck down in the middle of Exhampton.
Who did you have staying here yesterday, Mrs. Benning? Any strangers?
Oh, there were two commercial gentlemen, Mr. Moresby and Mr. Jones. And there was a young gentleman from London. Nobody else. That's not surprising with the weather the way it is this time of the year. There was another young gentleman, arrived by the last train. Nosy young fella. He isn't up yet.
What time does the last train get in?
Oh, around 10:15.
I don't think we need trouble ourselves about him. What about the other one, the one from London?
Oh, I can't remember his name for the moment, but you'll find it in the register. He left on the first train to Exeter this morning.
And what time would that be?
6:10. I thought it was rather curious. Can't imagine what he wanted down here anyway.
He didn't mention his business?
Not a word.
Did he go out at all?
He arrived around lunchtime. went out about 4:30, came in about 6:20.
Where did he go when he went out?
I haven't the remotest idea. It was before the snow came down again, but it wasn't a day for walking anywhere.
Did he give you any idea why he was here?
Oh, he didn't say very much at all. Kept himself to himself. Nice looking young man, but worried, I should say.
Can I have a look at the register?
It's just here. That's him there. I can't see without my glasses.
James Pearson, London. Doesn't tell us much. We have to make a few inquiries. Thank you, Mrs. Spelling. Did you say the Major was in the coffee room?
Oh, that's right, sir. Through there.
Thank you.
Oh, I hope you won't be disturbed by the vacuuming.
Major Burnaby?
That's my name.
I'm Inspector Narracott from Exeter.
Oh, good morning, Inspector. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Getting any forwarder?
A little forwarder, I think.
I'm glad to hear it.
There are one or two points I'd like you to help me on, Major.
I'll do what I can.
Had Captain Trevelyan any enemies, to your knowledge?
Not an enemy in the world.
And this man of his, Evans, do you consider him trustworthy?
I should think so. Joe trusted him, I know.
There was no ill feeling about his marriage?
Not ill feeling, no. Trevelyan was annoyed. He didn't like his habits upset. Old bachelor, you know.
Do you know if he made a will, Major?
He made a will.
You're certain of that?
He made me his executor.
Do you know how he left his money?
That I can't say.
I understand he was very comfortably off.
I should say he was better off than anyone round here suspected.
And do you know where he kept his will?
Well, he's at Walters and Kirkwood, the solicitors here in Exhampton.
Then, as you're an executor, I wonder if you'd come round with me there now. I should like to have an idea of the contents of that will as soon as possible.
What's in the wind there? Do you think the will has something to do with it?
At this stage, we have to consider every eventuality. Well, which reminds me, there's another question I'd like to ask you. I understand that you wanted to know from Dr. Warren whether death had occurred at 5:20.
Well?
What made you ask that, Major?
Why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I say 5:25 or 5:25 or 4:20 for that matter?
Quite so, sir. There is one thing that strikes me as curious.
What's that?
The business of letting Sittaford House.
Well, if you ask me, it's damned odd.
You know the lady?
I certainly do. Well, I was at her house when...
When what?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Did Mrs. Willett ever give any reason for taking on the house in the middle of winter?
Well, she talks a lot. She's that kind of woman. Beauties of nature, getting away from it all, that sort of thing. But I don't know.
It didn't strike you as natural?
You've only got to look at her. She's a fashionable sort of woman. Dressed up to the nines. Daughter's a smart, pretty girl. You expect them to be staying at the Ritz or carriages or somewhere.
You think they may be hiding out?
Oh, nothing of the kind. Exceedingly hospitable people, but... A bit too hospitable for English ideas. You know what colonials are.
You've no reason to suppose that they were previously acquainted with Captain Trevelyan?
I'm sure they weren't. Joe would have told me.
I might have a word with the agents who arranged the whole thing.
Williamson's. Next door to Walters and Kirkwood. Why don't you drop in on them first? Kirkwood's never in his office before 10 anyway. You know what solicitors are.
Mrs. Willett wrote to us from the Carlton Hotel in London. She simply said that... she said that she wanted to rent a house on Dartmoor for the winter. It must have at least 8 rooms.
Was Sittaford House on your books?
Oh, no, it was not. But it was the only house in the neighbourhood that even remotely fulfilled her requirements. Oh, she was willing to pay a decent price, so I thought it worthwhile writing to Captain Trevelyan asking whether he would consider letting. He replied in the affirmative, and we fixed the thing up.
Without Mrs. Willett seeing the house?
She took it sight unseen and signed the agreement. Well, then she came down here one day, drove up to Sittaford, saw Captain Trevelyan, arranged with him about plates and linen and so forth, and saw over the house.
She was quite satisfied?
Delighted, or so she said.
Didn't you think that rather odd?
You learn never to be surprised at anything in the property business.
Yes, Inspector, we do have Captain Trevelyan's will here. I suppose that since Major Burnaby and myself are joint executors of the will, if the Major has no objection...
None at all.
Then I see no reason why I should not accede to your request. As it happens, I have it to hand here. I had anticipated your visit. I, Joseph Arthur Trevelyan of Sitterford House, Sitterford, in the county of Devon, declare this to be my last will and testament, which I make this 13th day of August, 1926. I give to Robert Henry Evans, who served me long and faithfully, the sum of £100 free of legacy duty for his own benefit absolutely, provided that he's in my service at the time of my death and not under notice to leave, whether given or received. I give to John Edward Burnaby, of One the Cottage of Sitterford, as a token of our friendship and of my affection and regard for him, all my trophies of sport, including my collection of heads and pelts of wild game, as well as any challenge cups and prizes awarded to me in any department of sport, and any spoils of the chase in my possession.
Dear Joe.
Forgive me, Mr. Kirkwood, but as you can imagine, I have a busy day ahead of me. I would be grateful if you could simply let me know the main bequests.
Yes, of course, Inspector. The estate is to be divided into four equal parts. The first to my sister Jennifer Gardner, for her use and enjoyment absolutely. And the remaining such equal fourth parts to each of the three children of my deceased sister Mary Pearson, for the benefit of each such child absolutely.
Mary Pearson? Can you tell me anything about Mrs. Pearson, Mr. Kirkwood?
Very little, Inspector. She died about 10 years ago, I believe. As far as I know, she never visited Captain Trevelyan here.
Pearson. One thing more. The amount of Captain Trevelyan's estate is not mentioned. What will it amount to, do you think?
Ah, that's difficult to say exactly. It's a question of real or personal estate. Besides Sitterford House, there are properties in Plymouth.
I just want an approximate idea.
Well, I should not like to commit myself.
Would £20,000 be out of the way?
£20,000. My dear sir, Captain Trevelyan's estate will be worth at least four times as much as that.
I told you Trevelyan was a rich man. Oh,
thank you very much for the information you've given me, Mr. Kirkwood. By the way, have you the names and addresses of Jennifer Gardner and the Pearson family?
I know nothing of the Pearson family, but Mrs. Gardner's address is... Ah, yes. The Laurels, Walden Road, Exeter.
That will do to be going on with. And can you tell me anything at all about Mrs. Pearson's children?
There were two girls and a boy, I think. Or possibly two boys and a girl. I can't remember which.
Thank you, Mr. Kirkwood. Shall we go, Major?
Poor old Kirkwood. Not much to go on. Joe always kept his cards pretty close to his chest.
Don't you think it's time you let us see some of your cards, Major?
How do you mean?
I'd like to know the truth about the 20 past five business.
I told you already.
Withholding information is what you're doing, and I think I have a pretty good idea why you asked Dr. Warren about that specific time.
Well, if you know about it, why ask me?
I take it you were aware that a certain person had an appointment with Captain Trevelyan about that time?
Nothing of the kind. What are you getting at?
What about James Pearson?
What about James Pearson? Who is he? Do you mean one of Trevelyan's nephews?
The young man in question was at the Three Crowns last night. You probably recognized him there.
I never saw any of Trevelyan's nephews in my life.
But you knew that Captain Trevelyan was expecting a nephew to call upon him yesterday afternoon?
I did not. Trevelyan's nephews may have been in Temple, too, for all I knew about
them.
Then
why this 20 past five business?
Oh, very well, Inspector. I suppose I had better tell you. But mind you, the whole thing is damn foolishness.
I don't quite see what
you... You'll have to join in these things to please the ladies. And old Rycroft was all for it. Of course, I never thought there was anything in it.
Anything in what, Major?
Table turning.
Table turning?
I'll tell you all about it while we walk back to the hotel.
You mean to tell me that the table spelled out the name of Trevelyan and informed you that he had been murdered?
Ask the others, if you like. I didn't believe it. Naturally, I didn't believe it, but... Well, it was Friday, and I thought I should make sure. Go along and see if everything is all right.
And you found out that it was true? I've never come across anything like this before. I don't quite know what to make of it. I do see why you were so reluctant to talk about it.
Glad you appreciate it.
It won't help me catch the murderer. And I must be on my way.
Oh, good day, Inspector. And don't hesitate to get in touch with me if there's anything I can do.
Thank you, Major.
Major Burnaby? Yes?
Of number one Sitterford Cottages.
Yes.
On behalf of the Daily Wire...
Not another word. I know you and your kind, clustering around a murder like vultures around a carcass. But I can tell you, young man, you'll get no information out of me.
I think you've got the wrong end of the stick, Major. I don't know anything about this murder business.
Then what do you want?
I'm empowered on behalf of the Daily Wire to hand you this cheque for £5,000 and congratulate you on sending in the only correct solution to our football competition.
Good Lord.
But surely you received our letter yesterday morning telling you of the good news.
Do you realise that Sitterford's about 10 feet deep in snow? What chance do you think we've got of a letter delivery in the last few days?
But you must have seen your name announced in the Daily Wire this morning.
No. I haven't glanced at the newspaper this morning.
Oh, how stupid of me. The murdered man was a friend of yours, I understand.
My best friend.
I'm very sorry. Well, here's the cheque, with the compliments of the Daily Wire.
Thank you. Won't you have a drink, Mr...
Enderby. Charles Enderby. I got here last night. I wanted to come directly to Sitterford. We make it a point to hand cheques to winners personally. Always publish a little interview. Interests our readers.
What will you have?
A bitter, please.
Mrs. Belling, 2 pints of special, please.
Right you are, Major.
Well, everyone told me it was out of the question. The snow was falling very thick and it simply couldn't be done. Well, then, with the greatest good luck, I find you're actually here staying at the Three Crowns. Oh, no difficulty about identification. Everybody seems to know everybody else in these parts.
Oh, quite so, quite so.
2 pints of bitter, Major.
Thank you, Mrs. Belling.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Major.
Well, congratulations, Major.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bloody, the whole place seems to be off its head with this murder. It's rather a mysterious business, by all accounts. No enemies, had he?
No.
But I hear the police don't think it's a robbery.
How do you know that?
Well, I hear it was you who actually discovered the body, sir.
Yes.
Must have been an awful shock.
I suppose you're off back to London today.
Oh, no. I want to take a few photographs, you know, of your cottage at Sitterford and you feeding the pigs.
I don't have any pigs.
Sowing the dandelions or whatever. You've no idea how our readers appreciate that sort of thing. Then I'd like to have a few words from you on what I intend to do with the £5,000.
But look here, it's impossible to get to Sitterford in this weather. No vehicle has been able to take the road for 3 days, and it may be another 3 before the thaw sets in properly.
Well, I know it's awkward. I'll just have to resign myself to kicking up my heels in Exhampton. Still, they do you pretty well at the Three Crowns. Well, so long, sir. See you later. Hello, Mavis, it's Enderby. Put me through to the editor. I think I've landed a bit of a scoop.
Yes? What is it?
Evans, isn't it? I've just come along from Major Burnaby.
Oh, I see. Won't you come in, sir?
Thank you.
Won't you sit down?
It's a bad thing about your late master.
Oh, it's shocking, sir. That's what it is.
Who do you think did it?
One of those low-down tramps, I suppose.
Oh, no, Evans, that theory's quite exploded.
How do you mean?
Well, that's all a put-up job. Why, the police saw through that at once.
Who told you that, sir?
Had a tip from headquarters. Yes, the burglary idea was all a put-up job. Oh,
who do they think did it, then, eh? Are you connected with the police, sir?
Me? Oh, no, I'm from the Daily Wire. Well, I came down to see Major Burnaby. He's just won our free football competition for £5,000.
You mean to say those things are square after all?
Why shouldn't they be?
Well, it's a wicked world, sir. I have heard there's a lot of trickery concerned. The late captain used to say that a prize never went to a good address. That's why he used mine, time and time again.
That's very interesting. Could you tell me a bit more, Mr. Evans?
Good afternoon. I want to see Mrs. Gardiner, please. It's in connection with the death of her brother, Captain Trevelyan.
Oh, yes, sir. Please, come in.
Thank you. Has Mrs. Gardiner heard of her brother's death?
Oh, yes. She got a telegram from Mr. Kirkwood.
It must have come as a shock to her.
She didn't see much of Captain Trevelyan.
Did the telegram mention the fact that it was murder?
Murder? Murdered, was he?
Evidently, Mr. Kirkwood didn't want to break the news too abruptly to your mistress.
Murdered? Well, I never.
I believe there was some idea of Mrs. Gardiner going over to Exhampton yesterday afternoon. But I suppose the weather was too bad for her?
Oh, I never heard anything about it, sir. The mistress went out in the afternoon to do some shopping, and then she went to the pictures.
She must have got back quite late.
Oh, no, sir. She came back about 6 o'clock.
Tell me, is Mrs. Gardiner a widow?
Oh, no, sir. There's a master.
And what does he do?
He doesn't do anything. He can't. He's an invalid. He lies in bed all day, always wanting trays carried up and pots of tea made.
I see. Must be very trying for you. Well, now, if you'd be good enough to let your mistress know I'm here.
But who in the world would want to murder Joe?
That's what I'm anxious to find out, Mrs. Gardiner.
Of course, I hope I should be able to help you in some way. But my brother and I have seen very little of each other in the last 10 years.
You'll excuse me asking, Mrs. Gardiner, but had you and your brother quarrelled?
No, not quarrelled. I think estranged would be a better word to describe the position between us. I don't want to go into family details, but my brother rather resented my marriage. Brothers, I think, seldom approve of their sister's choice, but usually I fancy they conceal it better than my brother did. My brother, as perhaps you know, had a large fortune left to him by an aunt. Both my sister and myself married poor men. When my husband was invalided out of the war with shell shock, a little financial assistance would have been a wonderful relief. Would have enabled me to give him an expensive course of treatment, which was otherwise denied to him. I asked my brother for a loan, which he refused. That, of course, he was perfectly entitled to do. But since then, we have met at very rare intervals and hardly corresponded at all.
I don't know if you want to know what exactly happened at Exhampton.
Must I hear it? My brother was killed. Painlessly, I hope.
Quite painlessly, I should say.
Then please spare me any revolting details.
Of course, Mrs. Gardiner. What I really came for was to get a few family details from you. Do you know how many living relatives your brother has besides yourself?
Only the Pearsons. My sister Mary's children. The youngest, Brian, is out in Australia. I'm afraid I don't know his address. And then there's Sylvia. She's married to Martin Dare, and he's a very successful author. You may have read his books.
And the other brother?
James. He's the eldest. He works in an insurance office in London.
And what age is he?
28.
Married?
No, but he is engaged to a very nice girl, I believe.
I don't know if Mr. Kirkwood has informed you of the fact yet, but you and the three young Pearsons are the sole inheritors of Captain Trevelyan's money.
Oh, that will be wonderful. It has been so terribly difficult, always skimping and saving and wanting.
Oh, there is one other thing, Mrs. Gardiner. I wonder if you could give me a few addresses. Do you have Sylvia Daring's address, perhaps?
The Nook, Surrey Road, Wimbledon.
Uncle Joseph wasn't a very nice man, always carping and criticising. No knowledge of art or literature, or anything of any real worth. Success, true success, is not measured in terms of money, Inspector.
I gather you didn't see much of him.
Oh, I've only seen him twice since my marriage. On the second occasion, he was very rude to Martin, my husband. Of course, he was a perfect philistine. The only things he cared about were sport and those stupid competitions.
Just as a matter of form, Mrs. Daring, what were your movements yesterday afternoon?
What a queer way of putting it. You mean you want to know where I was? I played bridge most of the afternoon, and a friend came in and spent the evening with me as my husband was out.
And where was he?
At a literary dinner. He lunched with an American publisher and went to the dinner in the evening.
I see. And now, Mrs. Daring, your brother in London.
Jim?
Yes. I shall want to get in touch with him.
21 Cromwell Street, Southwest 3, by the railway.
Are you arresting me?
No, sir, I am not. If I was arresting you, I would have given you the customary caution. I'm simply asking you to account for your movements yesterday afternoon.
You found out, then, that I was down at Exhampton yesterday?
You signed your name in the hotel register.
Then I suppose there's no use denying it. Yes, I was there. Why shouldn't I be?
Why, indeed.
I went down there to see my uncle.
By appointment?
What do you mean by appointment?
Did your uncle know you were coming?
No. No, he didn't. It was a sudden impulse.
No reason for it.
Well, no, why should there be? I just wanted to see my uncle.
Quite so, sir. And did you see him?
Yes. Yes, I did. I asked at the station how I could get to Sittiford. They told me it was out of the question. The roads were impassable for any vehicle. I said it was urgent.
Urgent?
I wanted to see my uncle very much.
So it seems, sir.
The porter kept on telling me it was impossible. I mentioned my uncle's name, and he told me my uncle was actually in Exhampton, and gave me full instructions as to how to find the house.
This was at what time, sir?
Oh, about 1 o'clock, I think. I went to the inn, the Three Crowns, booked a room, and had some lunch there. Then, afterwards, I went out to see my uncle.
Immediately afterwards?
No, not immediately.
What time was it?
Well, I couldn't say for certain.
3:30, 4:00, 4:30?
I don't think it could have been as late as that.
Mrs. Belling at the Three Crowns said you went out at 4:30.
Did she? Well, I think she's wrong. It couldn't have been as late as that.
What happened next?
I found my uncle's house, had a talk with him, and came back to the inn.
How did you get into your uncle's house?
I rang the bell, and he opened the door to me himself.
How long were you with him, Mr. Pearson?
Oh, a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes. But look here, he was perfectly all right when I left him.
And what time did you leave him?
Well, I don't know exactly.
I think you do, Mr. Pearson.
It was 5:15.
You returned to the Three Crowns at 6:15. At most, it could only take you 7 or 8 minutes to walk over there from your uncle's house.
I didn't go back at once. I walked about the town.
In that icy weather? In the snow?
It wasn't actually snowing then.
Very well. And what was the nature of your conversation with your uncle?
Oh, nothing in particular. I just wanted to talk to the old boy. Hadn't seen him for some time.
I see, sir. Now, may I ask you why, on hearing of your uncle's murder, you left Exhampton without informing anyone of your relationship to the murdered man?
I was scared. I heard he'd been murdered around about the time I left him. I got the wind up and left the place by the first available train.
And is that all you have to say, sir?
Yes.
Then I trust you'll have no objection to coming down to the station and making a statement.
Well, is that all?
I think it possible, Mr. Pearson, that it may be necessary to detain you until after the inquest.
Oh, my God. What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Jim! What's the matter?
Oh, Emily.
What happened?
This man is from the police. They think I murdered my uncle.
Oh, but that's ridiculous.
This is Inspector Nericot. My fiancée, Emily Trefusis.
Yeah.
Jim is a frightful idiot, Inspector, but he doesn't murder people. I suppose you've been saying the most frightfully imprudent things, haven't you, Jim? Are you really arresting him, Inspector?
I've asked him to come to the station to make a statement. We may have to hold him until the coroner's verdict.
You don't believe I did it, do you, Emily?
No, darling, of course not. You haven't got the guts. Now cheer up and don't be such an idiot. You go along with the Inspector and leave everything to me.
Yes.
I'll say good evening then, Mr. Fusis. Come along, sir.
Goodbye, Jim. Au revoir, Inspector.
In the second part of The Sittiford Mystery by Agatha Christie, Inspector Nericot was played by Geoffrey Whitehead. Evans by Donald G. Mrs. Belling, Joe Kendall. Major Burnaby, Norman Bird. Williamson, David Googe. Kirkwood, John Gabriel. And Charles Enderby was played by Stephen Tomkinson. Beatrice, Alice Arnold. Mrs. Gardner, Anna Cropper. Sylvia Daring, Susan Sheridan. Jim Pearson, Stephen Garlick. Emily Trefusis was played by Melinda Walker. The Sittiford Mystery was dramatised and directed by Michael Baker.